Welcome to Central Thoughts, a podcast from Central Baptist Church in Daytona Beach, Florida. Here is Pastor Sonny Gallman.
Hello there. Welcome to episode 7 of Central Thoughts, the podcast that is born from Central Baptist Church. My name is Sonny Gallman. I'm the pastor here at Central, and it's glad to be back doing podcasts again. Wanted to talk just for a second. As I'm recording this, we are on Monday of Holy Week, and I just wanted to give some reflection on Holy Week as a whole. Sometimes we can fall into the trap of thinking of each day of Holy Week and its meaning and lose sight of the whole. So let me start by just telling you what Holy Week is. We start with Palm Sunday, which was yesterday. It's a day where we remember the triumphal entry of Jesus into Jerusalem. It's a day filled with palm branches that are waving. It's a day where we normally think of as a church that people got it right. They were claiming Jesus as king, as the one who came in the name of the Lord. One of the mistakes that we often make is to not recognize what those palm branches meant. And I was talking with a church member through a text this morning, and it turns out that palm branches were a way of welcoming a king, and likely they were remembering Jacob Maccabees, who led the Maccabean revolt, where the Israelites were able to gain a moment of freedom before they were eventually overtaken by the Seleucids back in the second century BC. And when they were waving the palms, it might have been a remembrance of Jacob Maccabees, who came in and was able to kick out what the Roman Empire was at that time, the Seleucids. And so it's possible that folks just had the wrong impression of Jesus, thinking he was going to start a military revolution against the Roman Empire, and he had something very different in mind. But that's what Palm Sunday is. We move forward in Holy Week, and we arrive at Maundy Thursday, which is usually a celebration that takes place in the evening. In some Christian traditions, Maundy Thursday will be an observance of Passover, because the focus of Maundy Thursday is to remember the last meal that Jesus shared with his disciples. And in the different traditions, you have the institution of the Passover. You have the foot washing that came from the Gospel of John, the prayer for unity that also came from John. And many of those things that Jesus said on the last night are remembered and celebrated, even as you look forward to the time when Jesus goes to Gethsemane and is ultimately betrayed by Judas. Good Friday is the day that has a little bit of a paradox in it. We call it Good Friday because it is the day where, in Christian tradition, the crucifixion of Jesus brings forgiveness of sins, salvation for all of God's people. And so we call it good, but it is actually a day that is a remembrance of the crucifixion of Jesus. So a lot of the scripture passages for that day deal with the trial of Jesus, Pilate offering up Barabbas, and Jesus as ones that he can give back to the people. The people choose to have Barabbas back and yell out for Pilate to crucify Jesus. That's all Good Friday stuff. And then some traditions have what they call Dark Saturday or Black Saturday, which is a day of darkness. Jesus has died. He's on the cross. Christian tradition, we know that Easter is coming, but for those first disciples, they didn't know that there was a resurrection coming. And so the darkness and the bleakness, it's a day of imagining what it would be like if the death of Jesus had meant the death of the movement, and that there was nothing beyond the crucifixion. What do we do then? And so a lot of times people will draw up ideas, and even some plays have been written about what did the disciples do on that day when everything seemed dark and bleak and hopeless. And then we arrive at Easter. Easter is the last day of Holy Week, the day of the resurrection, the day that we all dress up in our very, very Sunday best to remember the resurrection and celebrate the resurrection of Jesus. One of our great hymns asks the question, where, O death, is your sting? Because Jesus has risen from the dead, we now can claim that resurrection for ourselves. So those are sort of the days of Holy Week, and we can get caught up in each of the individual remembrances and celebrations, if you will, the worship services that go along with those days. But I wanted to just take a minute and think about what Holy Week as a whole is all about for our spirits. Sunday through Saturday of Holy Week mark the end of the Lenten season, which began on Ash Wednesday and make their way forward until you get to that Saturday going into the Sunday of Easter. And the Lenten season is a time of reflection. It's a time for us to remember sinfulness that is at the center of so much of what we do, the shortcomings that we have as human beings, the need that we have for God's presence and God's love and God's grace to find reconciliation, to find forgiveness, to find hope in our lives. It's a time for us to remember our mortality as we confront the immortality of God. And so it is a time of forgiveness, but Holy Week, because of the reality of Good Friday, ought not to be a time of sadness. It's really a chance for us to look back on our lives and to acknowledge the shortcomings that we have. We all have shortcomings that are a part of our lives. All of us have those things that we've done, those things that we've said that we're not proud of, that we're certainly less than our best moment. But because of Holy Week, we're asked to look back at those lives, not as a time of despair, but we're asked to look back through the lens of the forgiveness of God. And when we look back on those mistakes of our lives through the lens of forgiveness, that changes the sense of who we are. I know there are specific memories I can think back in my life, and if I'm in the right frame of mind and I remember the horribleness of my mistakes, some of the things that I did to my brother. We have a great relationship now, but some of the things that I did to my brother when he was growing up and I would be babysitting him were just really awful things. And when I get caught up in the moment, I can think to myself, my gosh, what was the matter with you that made you do those things? But when I look back through the lens of forgiveness, not only the lens of my brother Jacob's forgiveness of me, but also what the scriptures claim is God's forgiveness of us, that changes the light of what I have done. And I'm no longer caught up in how awful I was, but how grateful I am that that awfulness was not the end of me. That was not the last word. My brother didn't say, because Sonny has done this, I am never talking to him again. And so I can look back, not just on how I dealt with my brother, but all sorts of things throughout my life. And instead of being caught up with the awfulness of what I did or how bad it was, I can remember and I can recognize the forgiveness that I live with because of who God is, and because of the willingness that I have had to ask for forgiveness. So those have been important things for me to think about. And so Holy Week asks us to look back through the lens of forgiveness, but it also asks us to do something very important. And even though Easter is the most attended Sunday worship service in the Christian year, it might get a close second from Christmas Eve, but Easter Sunday is the day when everybody goes to church. And yet, by 12 o'clock or by the time that worship service is over, we're all moving on to family and dinner with family and what are the things that are going on. And then, you know, Monday, our day starts back all over again, and we've got to go back to school. We've got to go back to work. But the reality of resurrection in our lives offers us the ability to see into the future with the hope of God's presence. So we look back on Holy Week through the lens of forgiveness. We look forward through the lens of hope, that those things in my life that are restrictive, shortcomings of mine, mistakes in our lives, those kinds of things, we now live with hope because of the new life that is offered in Jesus, because of the resurrection. Death and the things of death, the idea that we are held forever by the destiny of our mistakes, those simply fade away in light of the Easter story and the possibility of resurrection. The example that I always give or have often given for Easter is Bermuda grass in Georgia. If you live in Georgia, you know what Bermuda grass is. It's probably in your front yard. It's kind of everywhere. And I was told one day by a company that treats lawns that Bermuda grass really is a weed, but we've just found out a way to make it look pretty. But Bermuda grass grows and grows and grows. The hotter it is, the sunnier it is, the more rain it gets, and it just gets this beautiful, lush green during the summer months and during the fall months. But then when the temperatures begin to drop in Georgia and the highs that were in the 90s become the highs that were in the 80s become the highs in the 70s and so on, and eventually you get to winter and the highs are 40s, that grass goes from as dark as it can be to as brown and an ugly shade of yellow as you can imagine. And when you drive through neighborhoods in Georgia, you would drive through, and if you didn't know any better, you would think, my goodness, these people have let their lawns die. What kind of people in those kinds of homes would let their lawns die like that? But it's not dead. It's something is going on beneath the surface, and the roots are taking an even deeper stab at warmer ground. They're going underneath the surface of what you can see, and they're actually strengthening themselves as a plant. And so the minute that spring happens and we get warm weather, that brown grass turns as green as you can get really fairly quickly. It has new life. Its new life is there because its roots have gone deep into the soil, and it is a new thing, a new creation, even though it's the same roots and root system as was there in the fall. And the same thing is true for us. When we think about Easter, we can sometimes make the mistake that the idea of resurrection and Easter is there for us when we die and we're resurrected into the life that is to come into heaven. But Easter, if it is anything, is an opportunity for us to, having laid the roots down deep in our souls and deep in our spirits, be made new again, to reimagine something that is different, to claim new life for ourselves, for our spirits, for our relationships, for how we relate to God, how we understand God, how we worship God, how we take care of the lost and those who are hurting in the world in which we live. Easter is that moment where we look into the future with hope, because we know that the resurrection is there for us. We know it is there for those that we want to help. We know that it is there for our relationships. And that changes the way that we look at the future, so that things are not hopeless. They're not desperate. They are filled with hope because of the presence and the action of God in us. So I hope that this Holy Week, or as you look back on Holy Week, depending on when you listen to this, that you'll take a minute and reflect for yourself on the whole meaning of Holy Week, its sacredness in our own journey, even as we remember the death and the crucifixion and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. I hope you have a great week, and may God bless you.
Thank you for listening to Central Thoughts, a podcast from Central Baptist Church.